Hello and welcome to the Success Secret Podcast with your host Hussein Talib. I am excited to introduce you to a series of conversations with some of the most successful and inspiring individuals from various industries. My aim is to dive into the stories behind their success and explore the knowledge, strategies, habits, mindsets, and wisdom that have propelled their success. Each episode of the Success Secret Podcast will feature a different guest who will share their unique journey, the challenges they faced, and the lessons they have learned along the way. I will also be covering topics from entrepreneurship and innovation to leadership and personal development. Whether you are an inspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business professional, or just someone looking to improve your life, the Success Secret Podcast is for you. My goal is to bring you valuable insights and inspiration that will help you achieve your own success in business and life. So get ready to learn and be inspired. The Success Secret Podcast starts now. In this episode, I have with me Bill Miller to talk about how to have outside-of-the-box innovation in business, how to have a network and how to do networking and software as service business. We are going to be talking about a lot of things in business and how important is having a network in business. So Bill is the CEO and co-founder of Start a Network, a community management and communication platform and app. Bill is a pioneer in several different disciplines, including martial arts and career fair industries. Bill is a big advocate for using power of professional networking to build businesses. Bill, I'm so glad that you are joining me for this episode of the podcast. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me. Look very forward to it.
Awesome to have you here with us. So first of all, because this is the Success Secret Podcast, I want to know throughout your years of work and career and business, what do you define success as? And what do you see or so people define success as or have certain misconceptions about success?
Well, I think the average person out there thinks success is having the best job, making the most money. To me, it's about relationships, and my career kind of guides to that as well. But it's the quality relationships with God, with family, with friends. That's ultimately what's going to really determine your happiness, your success, the joy that you have in your life. So to me, it would be quality relationships.
Definitely. That's important. Like if I talk about that, I think in my opinion, business is about skills, multiple kind of skills combined into one, and passion to solve problems. And the second thing is part of it is basically relationships, which is who you know and who knows you. And thirdly, it's about serving and helping other people. And you do that in multiple ways, but the main way to do it is by selling. So from your years of experience, why do you think the most important thing is building relationships, especially in business? Is it about, for example, going back, let's say forward quickly, is it about growing a business? Because if we don't have some kind of a relationship, we would fall short.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it. But, you know, bottom line, everything comes down to sales. And people buy from those that they know, love, and trust. And you have to put a commitment to putting the time in to really get to know somebody. It's very easy to know somebody on the surface, but to really get to know somebody where they know you care about them, that takes time and effort. It takes good listening skills. You have to really care to listen enough to find out what it is about that person that you feel like you can help, and ultimately they can help you succeed as well.
Definitely. So for example, in any business, there is some kind of a purpose or reason why we start certain businesses. So what was your reasoning for starting, for example, Start a Network?
Well, I had started a professional networking group, and it kind of grew out of innovation. You know, we looked at how can we make networking groups better? And especially after COVID, everything went from in-person networking to basically online networking. So we decided we wanted to merge the two, take the best from both, and give a better experience to the members that join. So For example, we found better ways to refer people. In a typical networking group, you say, "Hey, thank you, John. I got a lead from you, and ended up turning into a sale." How much more powerful if we not do that only to the people that are in the group, the 20 or so, but if all 20 people get on social media and say, "Hey, you really need to check out so and so's business. He just closed a sale here and did a great job." Now, all of a sudden, it has a possibility of touching thousands of people rather than 20, 30, 40, whatever you happen to have in your networking group.
Definitely, that's very important. The more you have, the more impact it will happen. So, but throughout that, what let's say, what kind of problems did you face or obstacles in your way? Did you have anything that, whether it's the platform with the people you worked with, certain things, maybe competition, did you face any of these, or did you have some kind of a doubt specifically with that?
Well, what I really wanted to do is make the experience better for the manager. I happen to manage this group and own it. So we wanted to find a really good way to be able to monetize it, number one, if for those that want to monetize their networking group. We wanted a better communication. So we meet once a week. Some groups meet once a quarter, but there's that downtime in between. And we really want to build strong relationships. So even during the downtime, we want to be communicating. So we have a communication app that allows you to group text or individual text. So if I'm collaborating with, let's say I'm a realtor and I want to collaborate with the mortgage lender and the title person, maybe even the inspector, I could start a group for the four of us, and we can really collaborate. We can go out and do seminars together for investors and so forth. So that was one thing. Then we also put a social feed on there for our groups. So with Start a Network, they could actually be on several different groups, and whatever button they click on, whichever group they're on, there's a social feed for that as well. There's a totally separate communication apparatus for it. And so the experience is much greater and the camaraderie becomes much greater because the experience is greater. You get to know people at a deeper level than just seeing them. Like I say, a lot of networking groups meet once a month. So if somebody's absent one month, that means a minimum of 2 months are going to go by before you've gotten together in a networking environment. Although we meet once a week, it's still somebody goes on vacation, maybe 2, 3 weeks before you see each other. We want to keep that communication and going during that time as well.
Definitely. Like you're speaking here about the multiple things that this kind of a do. Like you even have some kind of a social media feed.
We
So
do,
yes,
yeah.
so there is multiple things that are going into one, let's say, platform. So this leads to, for example, innovation. This integration of things of social media and that. Do you come with the ideas, for example, yourself, or do you have a big team working for it and thinking about things? Or do you get your ideas, for example, from, let's say, maybe clients? How do you look at these kind of ideas and apply them? And what do you think of the idea to action phase, let's say, time frame? Do you implement as quickly as possible, or do you take, let's say, time to implement your ideas?
Those are all good questions. For myself, I've been an innovator for as long as I can remember. I've been a serial entrepreneur, and that's why I was involved at the forefront of a lot of industries. I've been in the martial arts for like 60 years. I actually had the first resume data bank that I've ever heard of, and it was people calling directly into my home. On a multi, it was called Multibase. It was a server where many people could call in and scroll through resumes for employment industry. Then the advent of the internet came. So this was even prior to the internet. So we really were kind of ahead of our time. We had ineedajob.com long before the Monster Board of Career Bear, or Career Board ever came out. So it's I've had these ideas in the past, and I'm just kind of person that they're constantly floating around in my head, and I have to shoo some of them away so I can concentrate on what I need to. But with the Stardom Network, it basically formed out of necessity. We wanted a better way for this to happen. And it just so happened that somebody in my networking group had been in the tech field for years and had 15 years of basically project management in that. And he came to me with a small prototype, and the two of us have had a lot of input going back and forth. And as far as how quickly we're, putting out new versions and stuff, we worked on this a year and a half before we launched it. We just actually launched it on February 15th. However, we're doing almost daily upgrades to this. Now we're going to have, bigger versions, and those will be things that come out maybe quarterly, yearly, semi-yearly. But we want to keep up with technology and keep those versions coming, or the daily changes coming out all the time. We're using AI in several different ways, through training. We're using it for content development. And seems like every day technology's changing so fast that we're adding to our platform.
Definitely. So speaking of like technology, because it's evolving very, very quickly, right? So do you look at your competition and what they are doing, or do you not look at them and what they are doing? Because it might be something that they have something that you can apply at your business, or do you think this is something you have to be unique in yourself and you what you do?
Well, it's really a combination of both. You got to know what your competition's up to. You got to stay at the forefront of your industry. However, we need to focus on our vision for what we do, because I think it's very different from what the other people are doing. We started out as a program that was geared toward networking groups only. It's evolved into a community platform and app where we can work with chamber of commerces, we can work with organizations, we can work with sporting groups. Really, there's no limit to the amount of businesses that could be developed just through using our platform and app.
Because everything moves very fast. You have to have this kind of combination, innovation, idea to implementation fast and see how the, let's say, maybe the market reacts. So how would you think of testing? Like you talked about, you will need to focus, right, on certain things. So if certain idea came into your head and you thought this could be a good thing for the kind of thing, start the network or the app, how long would you test it to make sure that it's aligned with what you are doing? Or how long would you test it to think that this is not a good fit and we'll scrap it?
My project manager, product manager, has really good insight into that. So usually we're able to toss the ideas back and forth fairly quickly and make a determination if this is something that's in our wheelhouse and something that we can do well. If we don't think we can do it well now and we think it's a good idea, we table it for a year down the road. But if it's something that we feel like, hey, this can make an immediate boost and a positive impact on the clients that we have, we're going to try and implement it as quickly as we can.
So, but one question, why make, for example, an app? There is an app for it. Do you think now, because apps, we were talking about mobile devices, it's like crucial nowadays to have this kind of thing for almost anything to have an app on mobile devices, because us as humans, a lot of us like now, we have these kind of smartphones all the time. So we need to kind of maybe stay connected with social media or the community that we are like to be around.
Right. And you're right. There's an app for almost everything. We're not the only community app out there, but we are very unique in a lot of ways. One of the big things is we have public-facing websites. So let's say somebody starts a big group. It's not just communication within that group, but it is a platform where even our members get profiles that get picked up by Google and so forth. So there's value to them, even if they're not coming to in-person meetings. There's value because of the exposure that they're getting through it. And then we have great ways of promoting and sharing each other's information through there. So although there's a lots of apps out there, we want to be unique. We don't want to be just be another communication app. That's why we added the social feed to it. We really feel like it's got to keep that individual touch. If you're going to make community, you've got to have something that's going to be unique, because we can communicate by thousands of different apps and devices.
Definitely, definitely. There are a lot of them now. You can,
Yeah.
like, you probably, we have 10 of them and maybe using one or maybe two. So I think maybe the 20-80 rule applies. So, like, why 80% for an app, 20% for the other, and the rest are almost not open, not used. So that's very, happens, I'm sure, to everyone. So now, in regards, for example, to the part of opportunity, like in business, from your experience and these years of experience in your business as an entrepreneur, how can someone find, let's say, maybe a certain opportunity or gap in the market? Or should, for example, if I look at what you do and your business, do you think that's a good opportunity and I can apply it to a certain level of a different community? So how we should, as a business owner, entrepreneurs, think about opportunities and how they come to us and how we can use them?
A great question. Basically, again, I'm kind of innovative and I think outside the box, and I can't help but think of all the uses that could be done with this app. I've been in the martial arts, like I say, for many, many years, and I think of it even in that context. We're going to be rolling out in one of our next versions is the ability to segment things off so we can have hidden content in there too. So it'll allow for people that are teaching and so forth, whether they're teaching guitar or they're teaching a foreign language or whatever. I look at it in the martial arts, I could have a white belt level and I can gear towards membership. So whatever I teach, I can charge by membership level and I can give out different content to different membership levels. So I could do martial arts online. I could, have different membership level for white belt, a green belt, a brown belt, a black belt. I could do the same thing, beginning, advanced, intermediate in teaching a language, whether or a musical instrument. So it gives me so many opportunities. And then when I'm putting other people, networking with other people within it, they have the average chance, even as a member of the group, to have a profile on there and market their own school at the same time. So even though they're maybe coming to a self-defense seminar or something that I have online, they can have their own profile on there and market their own profile out there and get picked up by Google. So it's really something that we don't want to just help the owners in the network. We want to help the members because we have a program where it's kind of co-op. The owner pays for it, but the member pays. It's not a traditional app, it's a platform. Just like, if I was going to buy, accounting software or whatever, they're going to have a mobile version to that too. And that's kind of what we are. We're a powerful platform, but we have a mobile version. So if they want to be a part of that network, they're going to share in it. They're going to pay maybe $50 a year for the entire year to have that. So it's something that we want to give back value back to them too, and not just the network owners.
Some people might think that everything is taken, all the opportunities are taken. If I start a business, I would do the same as other people. So if someone asks you this question, how or what opportunities should I look for? How would you answer them?
You just have to find something that sets you apart from your competition. It may be your years of experience. It may be that you have a better accent in the language that you're speaking. It may be that you're higher educated. Whatever it is, there's always going to be someone better than you at most things that you do in life. But you got to take the skills that you have and sell them and distinguish yourself from your competition. I mean, to me, there is so many opportunities out there, even though I know everybody thinks, hey, everything. I think that about music. I think, how can they write another song? They have to, every tune has, there's only so many notes, But it's the same thing with business. The amount of businesses, that someone could create just out of our network is literally limitless. It's just changing and tweaking one thing. I mean, business coaches could use this product because one thing that I like about it is not only is could somebody teach from there, but now we got a community that can interact about the teaching that's happened. They can text each other, they can use a social feed. So it's much different than most of your teaching apps. I think a lot of teachers are afraid that if I put something out there, somebody's going to steal it, or somebody's going to do this. To me, if you're good at what you do and you feel confident in what you do, then hey, if somebody steals, it's kind of a compliment to you,
Well, maybe because in general in this day and age, because we talked about everything is going fast, you cannot it's hard to track everything that's happening in online. There is too much noise, a lot of content, a lot of business, a lot of things. It's really hard to track everything, and especially things that are produced in this type of way, video or audio or maybe books or articles. They might be used from other people, which is like you mentioned. To me, it's fine, because. But it would be nice, for example, have in the footer that originally buy, for example. So that's
Yeah, you definitely want to be original, but like you said, there's so much noise in there. It's hard to know all your competition and all the things that's coming out there because you could spend all day long literally researching competition and new competition and what gadget they have that we don't have and so forth. So we got to just make the best experience we can for our customers and then keep an eye on our competition in case they're doing something, that's really nice out there, then we might want to take that and compliment them for doing it.
Definitely, definitely. So throughout the years of your career, what kind of the worst advice that someone gave you and you thought, I wish I did not do what they advised me to do?
Boy, that's a good question. I think I've been my own worst enemy. It's not been other advice that other people have given me. It's been things that I thought would work well that I had to learn by necessity. I've gotten a lot of good advice over the years, but I can't think of any necessarily bad advice that just kind of threw me the wrong way. When in terms of good advice, I remember being in a business and I have four kids and I was running into daycare, kind of just running out because I was working till 1:30 in the morning. And so I saw this guy that I had done some work for before and he was a business consultant. And I said, man, every time I see you, you're so relaxed and laid back. I wish I was like that. He said, what's your problem? I said, man, I'm working till 1:30 at night sometimes. He said, so what's the root of your problem? I said, well, I got more work than I can handle. He said, that's easy. Raise your price till you work. If you want to work 8 hours a day, raise your price till you got 8 hours of work. He said, or hire somebody. And it was kind of like, it was one of those moments you want to hit yourself upside of the head and think, that didn't take rocket science, but it was really good advice. And I think the second one is, I was in a networking environment with Zig Ziglar at one time, and he said, sales is a process you do for somebody, not to somebody. And I think that changes your outlook in life, that you want to really go out there and help the person. That I'm selling you this, I want you to have benefits. This is something that I want to help you with. Ultimately, you've got to enjoy it or you're not going to refer it, So I've got to take care of my clients. So I've got to look at them different. They can't be a nuisance to me. They have to be somebody that I care about. So it all comes down to that kind of what I talked about earlier is relationships. Relationships are great when you meet them, but it's also you're just genuinely caring about the other person. You don't want to sell them something that's not going to be effective for them.
Yeah, definitely. That's very important. But I love the advices. This is great. Like, raise the prices until you can handle the amount. Oh,
Yeah.
that's that. But I agree with you that sales, you do want to help other people. You help the sale, the process of the sale or the sale is to actually let people achieve what they want to achieve, to make them reach the solution and the resolution that they want. Because generally people, when they buy anything, almost anything, they don't want to go through the pain of that. They want the result, basically. So this is the idea of business owner entrepreneur, is to make things easier for other people. But talking also going back to relationships in general are a good idea. But what do you think of like aligned relationships? Let's say people who are like-minded. You mentioned Zig Ziglar. So do you think similar-minded people could be better for business, or we can have different kind of relationship even if these two people or three people or this group is not aligned?
Well, I think we can have both. I do think you want to be aligned, ethically, morally, that type of stuff, and just your general makeup with people. In other words, you don't want to be around a negative person. If you're a positive person, it is going to take a toll on you. It's going to wear on you. But at the same time, I think that we can be friends with somebody. We're going to do business with people that are not the same as us, and we have to be able to adapt and see the good in the people as well. But I think even in networking, some people try and network. Let's say they're a realtor, they try and network with a bunch of realtors. Well, then you see other groups that they only allow one person from each discipline in there, so they're not fighting and so forth for leads. So what they want to do is, they want only one person in there, so they're not competing against other people. And I think both have their place, but I also think it's good to, network with your own people from your own industry because you learn from them. Too many people, I think, are deathly afraid of their competition. They don't want to share, they don't want to grow because they're afraid, oh, I'm going to give them an idea and they're going to use it and they might get a sale that I might have gotten. The world's a pretty big place and there's opportunity for everybody. So.
Yeah, definitely. There is enough abundance for everyone to have some part in it and help the world, help people, business owners, entrepreneurs achieve what they want to achieve and go reach that goal. So, what, let's say, tools, resources, or books that you would recommend to someone if you're asked?
I am a big proponent of Zig Ziglar. I've got another friend that is one. He's actually Zig Ziglar, I guess, trainer. He's been trained by Zig Ziglar, but his name's Sandy Anderson. If I could get hold of books that he's done, I would highly recommend it. Things that are going to make you look at life in a more positive light. The Bible's probably my biggest inspiration. There's enough knowledge in there to last a lifetime. So it's, looking again for the positive. How can I learn from other people?
So what would you say your final takeaway for this episode would be? What is it that business owners, entrepreneurs, your message to them?
I would say the biggest thing is don't just be a networker, be a network creator, because there's a lot of advantages to creating the network. Number one, I get to choose the founders of that group. I get to choose basically the nucleus. I get to choose where we're going to meet. I get to choose basically what kind of environment do I want there? Do I want this kind of a laid back, fun loving group, or do I want this a real strict one there? They have to bring a lead every time, I like to start out my groups with a funny video, kind of break the ice. I like to have fun and laugh. At the same time, I want it business oriented. But again, you get to choose the culture of the group. And let's say that you were going to start a networking group. Yeah, you want to find people that have high integrity, people that you want to refer out. Because let's face it, if you don't refer, you're not going to get referred back. And you want to feel good because you're going to be dealing with friends that you love and trust. You don't want to refer out somebody that's going to do shoddy work. So make align yourself with professionals, people that are positive, people are going to take good care of people you know, because your own reputation is at stake.
Well, where can people can learn more about you, get in touch with you, and see what you do?
Well, the easiest way is to go to www.startanetwork.com. If they scroll down to the bottom of the page, I have a free ebook about creating networks, and it's like 38 pages. It's an easy read, but I think it's really important, like I said, for people to not just see themselves as a networker, but see themselves as a leader, see themselves as someone that people are attracted to and are able to start their own networking group. And it doesn't have to be a formal professional networking group. You're always networking. It's kind of like in sales, they say ABC, always be closing. I say always be networking, because it's just that's what life's about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, if you are always networking, you are will be always closing. So, because they will trust you, that they will buy from you without even some. Maybe asking them to buy if you are offering them something. So that's a huge and will actually refer other people to you without asking them to refer them to you. That's very important.
Yeah, they'll know whatever you're involved in that based on your integrity or whatever, that it's going to be something that they're going to be interested in. So,
Yeah, definitely. Well, awesome. Bill, thank you very much for joining me for this episode of the podcast. Really insightful knowledge here, and ex you have an amazing experience throughout the years, and what you're building is amazing with Starter Network and the integration of multiple things in the same place, platform, and app. So thank you very much for joining me on this episode.
I appreciate it very much. It's my pleasure. Thank you.